Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. Second hour of the show this afternoon. Let me revisit just a few topics and aspects of the Roy Moore situation. I am distressed by the amount of people, many of whom live in Alabama, but I think there's a lot of people, whether it's here in St. Louis or across the country or on the internet, that don't seem to be troubled by these accusations. Now, going back to my comment from the last hour, look, I get that this, probably the timing of this is suspicious because he's in this race against a Democrat in Alabama. These things do happen. Now, when you go to the story about President Trump and grab him by the P word last year, yeah, that was a story that was put out there, and it was a few weeks before the election, but it was also true. It happened. We know it happened because it's on audio tape. He apologized. Apparently enough voters didn't think that that was serious enough to warrant not voting for him, and he won the election. Locker room talk, right? It wasn't, now that wasn't sexual assault or doing anything to a woman against her will. In theory, it was locker room talk. You might remember I wasn't a big fan of that locker room talk. It was highly critical. But you can at least draw a distinction between what the president was accused of doing, the then candidate Donald Trump, and Roy Moore. Now, I don't understand how all these things went for decades out there bubbling beneath the surface and not becoming news stories. What the women have told the Washington Post is that, look, they didn't want to make a big deal out of it because they thought that they would actually be persecuted because of some of the things in their past. Lee Corfman in particular, because she's had a bit of a checkered past. He's like, it's not worth it. But now, apparently, with all the women that are coming forward, they feel comfortable telling their story. But it shouldn't matter if it's time because of political convenience, or, I mean, to me, it doesn't even matter if there was some sort of Democrat out there that had this information that fed it to the Washington Post in an effort to bring down Roy Moore. The only thing that really should matter here is if this is true, if these things really happen. You got to put the timing aside. Now, some people don't want to do that, but are you really telling me, for those of you who are giving this guy a pass, that it's okay? This type of behavior is okay? Now, here's what I hear most often from people. I've heard it on Twitter. Well, you know, you got this this predator in Bill Clinton who was out there. Now, Bill Clinton's situation is very different in most circumstances. There were accusations of unwanted sexual advances, but there were also situations where they were rather consensual with interns of age who didn't seem to really complain about it. That story got exposed for different reasons than Monica Lewinsky coming forward and saying, hey, I want to tell my story. She kind of got drawn into it. I think she would have probably preferred to not have her life turn in that direction. I don't know. You'd have to ask her. But it's stunning to me how many people want to get on board and criticize Kevin Spacey and Louis C.K. and Bill Cosby. The list goes on and on and on. But with Roy Moore, because he's a Republican Senate candidate in Alabama, and because a Democrat is running against him, we're going to give him a free pass. I mean, we don't really care. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. I guess it depends on whether or not you believe the women here in increasing numbers. So Kellyanne Conway's on with Martha Raddatz on ABC trying to dance around this a little bit.
The Washington Post story is now 3 days old. You've had time to digest it, time to look through it. Do you have any doubt about the veracity of those accusations?
I said very early in this process that the conduct as described should disqualify anyone from serving in public office, and I'll stand by that. The president and others in the Republican Party have made clear that if the allegations are true, this man should step aside. But I've gone farther than that, and I've reflected something the vice president said as well, which is everybody should know that conduct is disqualifying. And Mr. Moore has denied that conduct. I think you've got other people out there talking about what did or did not happen many years ago.
So she's got a great political answer there because she insists, and I believe her, by the way, and I think I believe everyone else, and I would stand in this particular camp too, that those are those actions that have been described in the Washington Post story and now by a new accuser this afternoon are absolutely disqualifying for a guy who wants to represent voters of Alabama in the United States Senate. But the difference is what Kellyanne Conway is saying. Look, right now we don't know exactly what happened. You have accusations. He denies it. And who knows what the truth is?
Let me ask you again. Do you have any doubt about the veracity of the accusations?
Martha, I only know what I read, and I take very seriously allegations like this, particularly when they involve somebody who happens to be one of my daughter's ages. I take this seriously. I've tried to be a very loud voice for a very long time.
So you believe the accusers?
Sexual impropriety. I know what I read. I don't know the accusers, and I don't know Judge Moore. But I also want to make sure that we as a nation are not always prosecuting people through the press. He has denied the allegations. I've read the stories. I've heard not the testimony and the evidence, but what people are saying publicly. And I think that what we've all said stands. I came out I was probably the first person in the administration to come out because I happened to be interviewed on a different network about a different topic, tax cuts. And I said, this conduct should be disqualifying. I mean, I look around and I say, is this the best we can do?
All right, so I think her position is reasonable there. And also the part, and I'm uncomfortable with the notion that everyone's going to be tried in the press right now. Having said that, the reporting on Louis C.K., on Kevin Spacey, and on Judge Moore has been pretty thorough because the publications involved, whether it's the New York Times, the LA Times, the Washington Post, they want to make sure that they're not getting sued. Is there a way for Judge Moore to disprove some of these things? I don't know. And it would be a lie for me to sit here and tell you that I don't have concerns moving forward, not about Judge Moore, but about other people who are wrongly accused of sexual impropriety. It's going to happen where some people are completely innocent and there's nothing to the allegations. It probably has happened already in an effort to bring someone down. The difference in this particular case is that there are multiple accusers, and they all seemingly are telling the same story, or at least similar stories, and they don't know each other. And then here's something else that I think is important. Several of the women are Republicans, so they're not coming out as Democrats. We've seen this happen as well. And say, look, you know, it's not because of my politics, it's because of the behavior. Now, if you're someone out there that is truly, I'm old enough to remember, ladies and gentlemen, when character mattered for Republicans, when they thought that these types of issues were important and they were unwilling to put aside personal, reprehensible behavior in the name of winning a Senate seat. Used to be the standard that most conservatives and Republicans lived by. You can't, on the one hand, say, well, you know, President Clinton, you got guys out there. So if you think that the behavior that's described by Roy Moore is okay, it's acceptable, then you have to say, well, you know what, Anthony Weiner, that wasn't a big deal either. You know, it is what it is. Now, maybe you can draw a distinction because in that particular case, we know what he did. We absolutely can prove that. And we know, to a certain extent, what Bill Clinton did. In this particular case, is there a gray area? Maybe, if only because you can't disprove, at least easily, you can't disprove what the women are saying. But there's a lot of women, and seemingly the list is growing. The Attorney General, I'll ask him this, Josh Hawley, he wants to be in the Senate, maybe serving with Roy Moore. We'll get to that and some other things he's doing today coming up.
Welcome to St. Louis. Welcome to KMOX.
Hey, quick mention, tomorrow on the program, some of you might remember Chris Raby and I did a toy drive for Toys for Tots last year. It was awesome. We had a great turnout out in Chesterfield. We did the whole show early December from, what the heck was that? What was that location, Dave, we were at? I can't remember where we were, right behind Chesterfield Mall. Anyway, new location this year. We'll just move on from that brain fart. We're doing something that is called Bikes for Tykes, and we're going to give you all the details on this tomorrow because it's going to be fun. We're going to hopefully get a lot of bikes for kids in need, and we'll do a little live unveiling tomorrow afternoon right here on KMOX. The Attorney General of the State of Missouri, Josh Hawley, is with me this afternoon. He also just happens to be And this is a better title. I mean, he recognized that. The official constitutional law expert of the Mark Reardon Show. Josh, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Well, what are you doing here today? Let's talk about, last time we had you on, we talked about opioid and, you know, heroin and things like that, and also your run for the Senate. But you're rolling something else out today, aren't you?
Today, I've announced an investigation of Google related to their collection of consumers' personal, confidential, private data. You know, Google collects this from everybody who uses any of their services, whether that's the search engine or Google Mail or Google Shopping or Google Flights. They build a user profile, and then they turn that data over to third parties. They share it, they sell it. And here's what I want to know, Mark. What data are they collecting? What of my and our personal private information are they really collecting? And who exactly are they giving it to? And I want to know, do Missouri consumers have the ability to opt out and to say, no, I don't want you to collect all of this personal private information about me? So we issued a subpoena to Google this morning. We'll be conducting a wide-ranging investigation to get the facts.
Now, is this something that stemmed from something in particular? Are there other states that are doing this, or what's the origin of this particular lawsuit?
We are, I believe, the first state in the union. I'm certainly not aware of any other states that have announced an investigation into Google. And the origins of this, in the light of Google's massive fine by the European Union earlier this year for potential antitrust violations, and we're also investigating, I should say, potential antitrust violations here in Missouri by Google, in light of the information we've seen with Equifax about the enormous amount of personal and confidential information that these tech companies collect and keep and then sell. It's time, I think, that folks held, law enforcement officials, held these giant tech companies accountable. Google has a monopoly in the search engine business. I mean, far and away, they are an exceptionally powerful company, and I think people don't realize just how much personal information they collect about us and what they do with it, and how that influences everything from what we read in our news feeds to the websites that come up when we search to what they know about us in terms of our health and our marriage and you name it.
You're telling me that most people don't use Netscape Navigator anymore? Remember that
you
one?
You might be a minority, Mark, if you're still using it. I tell you, it is Google is really something extraordinary in terms of the concentration of market power, as economists sometimes put it. You know, just what that means is they're just really, really big. You know, I mean, they are a really, really big tech company that has an enormous amount of power, not just in when it comes to searching for stuff, but in selling things, gathering user information. They're very big. They're very powerful, and they need to be held to account.
Why is that automatically something that needs to be accounted for, or that's a violation of law in this sense? I mean, we all use Google to make our lives simplified. I think you're right that a lot of people probably would not be aware of the amount of data collection that goes on, not only with Google, but look, if you have an app on your phone, any number of them, and you press, I agree to terms of service, you're allowing, nobody ever reads the fine print, but you're allowing these companies to sort of track, not specifically what you're doing, but some of the things that you're doing on your phone. So we've all given up a certain amount of privacy because of the way technology has helped us. Isn't that part of it?
Yeah, the question is, do consumers really have a meaningful option, a meaningful choice to opt out of giving over some of this personal information? And we're not just talking about, maybe a website I visited. We're talking about far more than that. I mean, Google's user profiles, as Google itself boasts to the people they sell this information to, their user profiles are extraordinarily detailed. Things from the stores that consumers like to shop in to what they are, their health preferences, the doctors they go to, the flights that they book, the things they browse online for. So the question is, we're trying to decide, has there been a legal violation? This is an investigation. I've issued a subpoena. But these companies, Google in particular, need to be held accountable. There have been multiple complaints, Mark, about Google's privacy and information collection, about their use of other competitors' information, taking information from competitor websites and putting it on Google websites without permission. The FTC actually looked into Google for this several years ago. We're going to investigate that as well. And also, of course, their antitrust practices. One thing it's alleged that Google does, and the evidence suggests that this may be true, is they manipulate the results of those searches that we all make on Google in order to have the first things that come up be Google-affiliated websites. And that's just so that they can make more money. So we're going to find out, are they in fact doing this, and are they using their extraordinary power and extraordinary information in a way that hurts consumers?
Okay, two things on that. First of all, why would it be a problem if they use Google-preferred, you know, in connected sites, because it's their business, right? They're trying to make money. The second part of that question is maybe separate but unrelated here to a certain extent. Do they have to comply with your subpoena?
Yes, they do. The subpoena is, it's called a civil investigative demand is its full title, and it is not optional, as the name okay. suggests. They must comply with it. I look forward to them doing so in an expeditious manner. And as to your first question, the reason is Google has an algorithm that they use, a fancy formula that they use to bring us search results, supposedly based on what is most relevant to our search. You know, you type in something in the Google box, and the results you get back supposedly are those that are in order of relevance. And in fact, Google puts that on the site, you know, mm-hmm. the relevance rating. But there are widespread allegations, and the EU has fined them nearly $3 billion on this subject because they determine there's evidence that Google manipulates those results and uses its algorithm or departs from its algorithm to put its own websites or affiliated websites up higher, you know, and not actually the most relevant, but those that benefit Google. Why is that a problem?
Yeah.
Well, it's because almost everybody uses the Google search engine. They have a monopoly in the search engine market. So, you know, when you go to this thinking, oh, it's my best option. It's one of the only options out there. I think I'm getting straight information. In fact, Google is using their power in the search engine market to sell me stuff, to sell me Google stuff. That's a problem. Our law doesn't allow that kind of tying in of different products. So we're just going to get to the bottom of that. Is that, in fact, going on? We're going to find out.
New territory for sure. Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley, I have to ask one more question here. I think you've been asked this a couple of times today already, and it's certainly a valid question considering you're running for the U.S. Senate next year. You're hoping to beat Senator McCaskill after winning the Republican nomination. We covered some of that a couple of weeks ago. If, in fact, Roy Moore wins this race in Alabama and Josh Hawley has to serve with Roy Moore, what are your thoughts about that? Do you think that he, for example, should stay in this race?
Well, you know, the allegations against Judge Moore are extremely serious, and in fact, they're more than serious. Mark, they're criminal. Under Missouri's law, certainly, the allegations are criminal allegations. And so my view is this, that the judge, I think the president is right about this. I think he's in the right position, which is that the judge has the right to defend himself and to come forward with the facts, and he should certainly do so. If those facts are true, if those alleged facts are true, then he should step aside. He should not be running. And I think the president's got it right on that, and that's where I am.
What happens if we can't prove either way, though?
Well, you know, we'll see. It'll be up to the voters ultimately to make a decision about what they see. And you know, we'll just look. The only people who really know the facts of this case, I don't know what the facts are. And as a lawyer, I can say I never believe one way or another. What I read in newspapers, I never take it at face value, either what's said or what the answers are. So I do not know the facts, but I will say that I do know the allegations, and the allegations are extremely serious. So the judge knows the facts, and I think he should reflect on those. He should come forward with those very explicitly. And if this is true, then he needs to step aside. And, you know, the voters are going to have to make a decision about that if he, in fact, does not make one before.
Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley, also the official constitutional law expert of the Mark Reardon Show. It's always great to have you on. Thanks, Josh.
You bet. Thank you.
3:32 at Cam Wicks. You know what I was thinking about, too, as I let Josh go? I never tossed this question out to folks, so I'm going to do it right now. We had him on a couple of weeks ago. He's in the Senate race. He's in it to win it. But let's not forget, he took an ad out when he ran for Attorney General last year that said this.
Jefferson City is full of career politicians just climbing the ladder, using one office to get another. I'm Josh Hawley. I think you deserve better.
Obviously, I asked him about that, and he said people should be concerned about that. In effect, he's doing exactly what he was critical of. Now, I think that this is a guy who basically has the aura, for better or worse, of United States Senator ever since I've known him and met him. He just feels like a guy who is destined to be in the United States Senate. He's pretty slick. I think he's a really smart guy. I think he's really good on the Constitution, which is why he's my constitutional law expert. But look, this is going to be a challenge for him with Senator McCaskill next year. maybe even in the Republican primary, because he said he was going to do things that other politicians do, or he said he was not going to do things that other politicians do, and now he's doing exactly what he said he was going to do, or that he wasn't going to do. So my question to you this afternoon is this: how big of an issue is that? This is mainly for Republican voters, because Democrats are going to vote for him anyway. But if you're someone who is going to vote potentially for a Republican, you don't like Senator McCaskill, are you willing to put that aside and sacrifice principles like that because the guy is right for the job and it's just one of those timing things, which I do believe that it is. I understand why he was drafted essentially by Senator Danforth and why he's in this race, because you have to take advantage of the time. Problem is, he's been exposed kind of as a hypocrite because he's climbing the ladder the same way he's accused other people of doing. But is that going to matter to the voters next year? 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Jump on in here. We'll take some phone calls here. We have an audio cut of the day coming up as well.
Tonight, get ready for the Blues and Flames. Pregame 7:30. Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase have all the action starting at 8. Hear it here on your home for St. Louis Blues hockey, KMOX.
I actually got a text from Chris Kerber first thing this morning because both he and I are first and second place in the KMOX Fantasy Football League. And it should be pointed out that we were both in last place and second to last place last year. So my comment back to him was, I think that that's, Dave, what do you think? That's sort of that story, that worst to first storyline might be worthy of an ESPN 30 for 30 documentary. I don't know. I'd keep an eye on that. All right, so Josh Hawley gets in the race, but he also said this last year.
I'm doing great, Mark. Thanks for having me.
No, that's not it. That's this.
Jefferson City is full of career politicians just climbing the ladder, using one office to get another. I'm Josh Hawley. I think you deserve better.
All right, how problematic? One thing I've said all along about this race is that Senator McCaskill is not to be taken for granted. I know a lot of people out there, the casual political observers in you, want to say, look, it's Missouri. She's not popular. She is the antithesis of what happened last year. She's in big trouble. You know, some people think that she should have lost last time around if it wasn't for the Todd Akin situation. She's not to be underestimated, but this is going to be a problem. I've heard from people via email and Twitter, people who are more middle-of-the-road voters. You got to remember that. Not everyone's a partisan. Some people cross over. They vote for a Democrat in one election, a Republican in the other election. I know a lot of us like to think, well, there's just two sides, but there are those swing voters. So how problematic is it for Hawley that he's doing exactly what he said people shouldn't do? Steve, you're on KMOX.
I don't think that would keep me from voting for Mr. Hawley. I lived in Illinois when John Chipkus first ran, and one of his big things was that he had said he was all for term limits and wouldn't serve more than 8 years. Obviously, he's been there more than 8 years, and sometimes things change.
Yeah, I think that that's basically the message that Josh Hawley has. So you give him a pass on that.
I would, yeah, because I don't think that, none of us know what we're going to do tomorrow until we're given tomorrow's circumstances.
But then why say it?
It was probably expedient at the time.
And it made for a good ad, right?
Sure.
Yeah, when you're a political newcomer, you can put an ad out like that. It looks good, it sounds good, but then, now you are a politician. Now you're elected. And you got to think about the consequences of that. Gil, you're on KMOX. Hello?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yep, that's you.
Yeah. A similar situation years ago when John Chipkus ran.
Yes.
He was for term limits at the time and said he was only going to be elected twice.
I've heard that somewhere before. I can't remember where.
Yeah, he did that. And after he ran the third time, I didn't vote for him. At the time, I was in his district. I think that has now changed, but I wouldn't vote for him. I haven't since, and I won't again. I think when politicians change their mind like that, you have to take that into account and hold them accountable.
All right, thanks for the call. In Gil's defense, by the way, obviously I was being sarcastic because he said exactly what the other caller said, but I believe my producer was talking with him at the same time the other caller was on, so he may have missed the comments. And Gil, if you're still listening, the previous caller sort of made a similar point there. And some people have never given John Chipkus a pass on that. They've always held it against him. He comes up every once in a while when I have him on the show. I see people talking about it on Twitter. So I think there are a fair number of people, whether it's significant enough, that will take a step back next year and say, look, we think the guy's a hypocrite and we can't support him. I did not see Saturday Night Live over the weekend, but I did see these clips. I have it in my DVR since I was out in the woods. I didn't watch it. one of the things that's been of great concern to me over the years is that younger people like my kids, I'll use them as an example, their news sources are very different. So one of their news sources is Saturday Night Live. Should it be? Probably not, but it is. This is where young people get their information. Snapchat, Twitter, fake news abounds. So Saturday Night Live doesn't go after Democrats very often. Let's face it. It's very, very rare. In this particular case, they decided to do it because their point here is that you got all these Dems like Joe Biden and some of the other usual suspects that have been out there for a long time. So they mocked that.
And now a message from the Democratic National Committee.
This Tuesday, Americans went to the polls.
And they told President Trump, we don't like what you're doing at all, sir.
And now one thing is clear. We're back, baby. The Dems are back.
Estamos de vuelta.
You love us again.
And we haven't felt this confident since the day before Trump won.
You love our fresh new ideas delivered by fresh new faces like me, Nancy Pelosi. And me, Dianne Feinstein.
And me, Chuck Schumer.
Y yo soy Tim Kaine.
Even the lefties are getting sick of the same old, same old.
We also have some great new leaders waiting in the wings, like hot young thing Elizabeth Warren. And also, that's right,
it's Biden time.
And I'm still around too.
And together, we're going to end the spirit of divisiveness in this country by focusing on how we won the governor's races in 2 of the 10 states we care about.
So basically, I thought it was pretty good, pretty effective use of what's happening with the Democrats and the message that they have. And I was shocked to learn that some of the stuff about Biden is true, that he may be considering running for president again. He was on with Megyn Kelly, that god-awful show that she's doing after the Today Show on NBC.
Let me say this. The critics will say, you're too old. You're going to be 77 in 2020. You wouldn't have any new ideas. You've already run twice and lost. You'd have to promise it would be one term only, and that the blue-collar Rust Belters who you'd need to get elected already love Donald Trump.
They love me more.
And he went on here. First of all, I think he looks, what would he be, 74 right now? If he's going to be 77, that's that new math, right? He looks pretty good for his age.
But you're right about all the first parts, correct.
How could you overcome all that?
Well, I'm not sure I can overcome the front end, but I understand the Rust Belt. Donald Trump has no notion what those people are going through. And if you take a look, and that's a criticism, it's an observation, because look, but for 77,000 votes, this would be a different race now. Come on, let's take a look at this. They call me middle class Joe. Well, it's not meant as a compliment in Washington. It means I'm not sophisticated. But I understand. I understand what built this country. The only thing I know is the middle class, their hopes, their aspirations, because it's where I come from.
So he's not ruling out running. That's stunning to me. Now, we were talking about this a little bit on the roundtable, and I think Jane Duker, some of this happened off the air. I'm not speaking out of turn because we meant to get to it. But there is a feeling among some of the Democrats that the way that the party is going, and you could see some of this at work in the city of St. Louis and the Board of Aldermen, you have the more moderate Democrats. I think Joe Biden would be in that particular category. Then you have the lefty, whack job, nutty Democrats like some of these kooks on the St. Louis Board of Aldermen, Kara Spencer and others. And there's a feeling and there's pressure on the party, and this happens sometimes with Republicans too, to sort of move it in that, you know, uber, ultra, wacky, lefty direction, to which would probably, I think that would pretty much guarantee, if Trump runs again, another victory. That would turn a lot of people off. And they tried to do it with Bernie Sanders. So who is that person? And is Joe Biden really, are they really going to trot out Joe Biden? They might as well trot out Hillary Clinton again and give it a run.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Sponsored this afternoon by my friends at the Good Feet Store. Good Feet art supports are immediately available. Coming for your free test walk today. They also have some Black Friday savings coming up. So there has been another accuser that's come forward here about Roy Moore, and her name is Beverly Young Nelson. By the way, she says that she and her husband supported Donald Trump for president, and that her coming forward today has nothing to do with Republicans or Democrats. It has everything to do with Mr. Moore's sexual assault when I was a teenager. She worked at a restaurant. She said that he signed her yearbook when she was 16 and then offered to take her home one night. So he was going to drive her home. She agreed to that. And she says that they didn't make it home. They went into the back of this restaurant, into a dark alley. And here's what she told everyone during this news conference today.
Instead of driving to the street, he stopped car. He stopped the car and he parked his car in between the dumpster and the back of the restaurant where there were no lights. The area was dark and it was deserted.
Beverly Young Nelson, the latest accuser of Roy Moore, more and more voices chiming in saying he should pull out of that race in Alabama. So far, he says, not going to do it. That's our audio cut of the day. Sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Total information PM coming up next on KMOX.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.